You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So today we have a really great guest. It's Sridhar Silberfine, and he is the founder of the Bhakti Fest. You might remember a while ago we went to the Shakti Fest, and this is the same founder. Shakti represents the feminine energy, and Bhakti represents the male energy. Well, he's also doing one right now, this coming weekend, in Madison, Wisconsin. So definitely worth checking out. This guy's been doing this for over 40 years.
He has actually some comments about Woodstock that are really going to surprise you. So yeah, definitely you want to check out Sridhar's interview coming on.
So let's talk about what we did this past week, because that's normally what we do at this time. And we always have a bunch of events that we're going to. We're always invited to different events because of the radio station.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing because the events that we get invited to are all about people doing really amazing things in the world for the benefit of humans or animals or nature or something really amazing.
So last week, last Sunday actually, we were invited to perform for the Jules Stewart Project. Mm-hmm. Jules is someone that we had on the radio station, and what she does is she's an artist, and she had painted a bunch of paintings of wolves and wolf dogs to help benefit the Wolf Connection. And what the Wolf Connection is there is a foundation that takes all these wolf dogs and has them on a property, and they bring in inner city kids and help to rehabilitate them.
Rehabilitate the kids,
yes,
by hanging out with the wolves.
Yes, exactly.
And they're saving the wolves too, because unfortunately, you know, people think weird things about what they want as a pet. They like to have a lion. I'd like to have a snake.
I'd like to have an alligator.
Well, unfortunately, they like to have wolves too. The problem with that is that wolves are not pets.
And they're not trainable.
And they see small children and they look at them as lunch. And the next thing you know, they're being brought to an animal place to be put down. And these people are intercepting those wolves that are being brought, and they're giving them a second chance at life.
Absolutely.
That was real cool, though. Jewel Stewart is a really unique lady. She's got some fantastic art, and you can look at her on her Facebook. We've got a bunch of pictures of the event up as well. And she's the mom of somebody famous. See if you can figure it out. The next thing that we got to do, which was a lot of fun, was I had a mastermind meeting. A friend of mine named Jerry Conti. Thank you, Jerry, very much. You're an amazing guy. He put me in a room with a bunch of very dynamic people. Everyone in the room had multiple businesses, had multiple philanthropic things they were doing, and it was a mastermind. The mastermind was held by a gentleman named David Meltzer, and you might know David because his TV show Sports One is quite well known, and he's the partner of Warren Moon, who's a football player. So you get in a room with about eight people that all have great things going on, and you spend 3 hours and you would be amazed at how things shift in your own mind. And what the subject matter for me was how to grow the radio station, how to let more people know about it. We have our 100th show coming up.
Yes,
and
we do.
And we want to have a really spectacular guest that day. And we're only, what, five shows away.
In the next five weeks,
we're going to do some type of a phenomenal celebration here.
For our 100th show.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah,
Thank you to everybody listening, because you know you guys made this totally possible for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk for a minute about Mastermind. The whole concept is you get people together that may not have anything to do with what you're trying to do, but you look at what they're doing and what their projects are, and how do their concepts work with what you're doing? How can you reshape what it is that you're trying to move forward with, and maybe are in a slowdown period, maybe you're trying to recreate something new, but look around you and see who do you know that you could put a little mastermind meeting together with? I have to tell you, this was one of the best ones I've ever gone to, and I think because it was such a variety of people, where in the past I've always gone to masterminds within my industries, within my circle, within the entity that I'm trying to work on. And this was completely different. This was people in all different realms, completely different from the realm I'm trying to work with. Yet every single person's conversation, I found something of benefit.
That's really great. And I think it's interesting, too, when you have different aspects coming in. So it's like not everyone in your one industry. There's people out there that are in different industries. Sometimes that can help you even more because you're reaching outside of your circle. You know, you're stretching yourself into other areas. And maybe you might know someone who needs some help. You being a promotional marketing person might be able to help someone who's in the fashion industry, for example.
Well, it turns out that I'm going to be mentoring one of the ladies in that group because of my experience, and she was looking for things that I know about. So it worked out to be great. And the whole mentoring conversation is interesting as well because my assignment, we're meeting again in 2 weeks, and in the next 2 weeks, I need to find three different mentors in three different realms to help me to get to the fulfillment of what we're trying to do with the radio station. So all week long, my mind has been going 1,000 miles an hour going, geez, who do I ask to be a mentor? I totally see the value, but I've never had one before. So, I mean, my dad was my mentor growing up, but at this stage of my life, how do you pick a mentor?
Yeah, well, I think that's a challenge. And I think they've really put a nice big challenge in front of you to really push you outside of your comfort zone. And I think when you stretch outside of your comfort zone, that's how you grow.
Totally.
And that's I think what the whole thing is about, is to go way beyond your comfort zone. Don't get comfortable. Just really push yourself. And that's how you're going to get things to happen.
Well, I can totally say that this has been outside my comfort zone because I'm not one who generally asks for a lot of help. I always try to just resolve it with my own resources and my own manners. And so being under a mentor to me means I'm asking for help, and that's something that I have to work through in my own mind and be very comfortable with it in order to be successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it. So last night we had a lot of fun at the Women of AT&T Southern California chapter. They did a fundraising party on the water. That was too cool.
Yeah, I thought it was a great time. We had it all dressed in white. That is actually the first white party I think I've attended where everyone wears white. And I thought it was a lot of fun to just, it was very easy to find out what boat we were on because all you do is go to the dock.
We saw all the people dressed in white. Now, I want to say something about that because we were on the boat for about 4 or 5 hours. And at one point, I stood at the end of the boat and I looked at this sea of people all dancing with white clothing. And there were African-American, Spanish, Asian, white. And I looked at everybody and went, now, isn't this a beautiful thing? Because you have all these people dancing together. They're all different races. They're mm-hmm. all different religions and beliefs and thoughts. But they're all dressed in white.
And we're all dancing to the same song.
And we're all dancing to the same song. And what a beautiful thing it would be if you could look at the entire world that way. If everybody looked at the entire world that way. It really struck me. I got to say that it really struck me. I took a little video of a certain dance that everyone was doing, and I'm going to post it on the website because this was the video that I took that made me go, wow, look how beautiful this is. All these people just having fun together. Doesn't matter who, what, where, when. Yeah. We're all the same because we're all dressed in white tonight.
Yeah, and we're all, and you know what's interesting too is to take that concept even further is that we're all on this little boat, it wasn't little, but we're all on this boat in a massive ocean. Just like the world sits in a massive ocean of space.
Right.
So it was very
profound.
Profound and symbolic of what we experienced last night. So great organization. The organization is New Directions for Veterans, and what they do is...
That's who they were donating all the proceeds. That was who the fundraiser was for.
Yeah. So what they do is New Directions for Veterans empowers men and women who've served in the military and their families to lead productive and fulfilling lives. So I think it's a great organization because there's a lot of military coming back from the war we've been in for past 10-something years.
Well, and I want to give props to a lady named Georgia Zachary. Georgia put this together. She's the president of the Women of AT&T Southern California chapter. This was their first event. They had at least 100 people on board.
Oh,
she did a phenomenal job throwing her first time event. And this was to benefit women who are homeless veterans actually. And there were a few women veterans on the boat that were there to support this cause. So way to go, Georgia. Well done.
And thank you to Michelle Patterson, who actually invited us.
Who let us know about it. Yeah, absolutely. So great time had by all. Now, I want to just talk about one other thing that we did this week. There's a new company out called Affinity 24, and they're working with nonprofits. They're helping nonprofits monetize through using credit cards. And that's a really interesting thing. So we went to a pre-launch of that to get more information. Since we work with so many nonprofits, we're always looking for ways that we can help them to raise more money. And this was a really interesting way. I'm going to do a special on this subject alone coming up, you know, a little bit later when they're in full swing. But you can reach out to me at janie@humanitarianradio.com if you want to find out about monetizing your nonprofit through a credit card system.
Absolutely. USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world, sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put Humanitarian Radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word Humanitarian Radio, and they'll give you an extra discount. Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
So this is probably one of my favorite parts of our every week because I get to discover the coolest things that are going on.
And share them.
And share them with you. Yeah, absolutely. And I really like that a lot of the stories that I find involve young teenage men. And I want to stress that because usually they get the bad rap for being bad kids. In fact, I was speaking to a gentleman last night. He was an attorney. He told me he had a 15 and a 16-year-old boy. He says, my 16-year-old is an absolute angel. He gets really good grades. He's a really nice kid. My 15-year-old, a little different, still nice. Still a good kid, but so often you hear that kids get, you know, all kids are bad when they're that age, when they're teenagers. So I like to show that there's a lot of really cool teenagers out there.
Well, how was your teenage son?
My teenage son was pretty decent. I have to
say, became a teenager?
I'm pretty happy with how he ended up and our journey through. He never got in a gang. He never, you know, did anything to hurt anybody. And so yeah. I'm really happy about that. So this young guy, 15-year-old kid, decided that he wanted to raise awareness about what his brother was going through. His little brother has cerebral palsy. So he said the family really didn't understand what was going on with cerebral palsy. You hear some things about it. Doctors tell you things. Research says this. People online say something different. And so they discovered how much there was to learn about it. And so this 15-year-old kid decided to do a fundraiser to raise awareness about his brother's condition, and he literally walked 57 miles carrying his brother on his back.
Wow.
Holy cow.
That's insane.
That's really wild. I think it's just a beautiful thing. He crossed the finish line. He was greeted with just, you know, a whole bunch of people screaming and hugging on him, and I think it's really, really a beautiful thing for a brother to do for a brother. But also to raise awareness for all the families out there that are struggling as well to see, hey, there's a lot of support out here for you.
Absolutely. You know, for him to be 15 years old and take that type of action to help his brother, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, totally, totally. So that's our first cool story. This is really, really sweet. So I just had to tell you. A charity received a wedding gown And it had a really, really beautiful thing inside it for the next wearer of that gown. And it was a letter from a man. And the man said in his letter, "I wish any lady who wears this dress to have a life with her loved one of 56 years like I did. Happy years. I was a lucky man to marry a lady like mine."
Wow, that's really cool.
I just thought that was such a cool thing to pass forward. He tagged it on the front of the dress when he dropped the dress off.
Right, so he donated the dress and he...
And the love that went through it, yeah. You know, and the many years of love. He wanted to make sure that that next person knew that that dress was the symbol of a really strong marriage. So I thought that was a really, really neat thing to do. And, you know, I recommend that type of thing highly because that would really be something that would make me look at that dress twice. If I didn't think it was my style in the first place, I would look at it again with the knowledge that 56 years of a great relationship existed after that dress.
It's got some good mojo on it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So this last story is very heartwarming. It's about something heroic that a police officer did. So there was a young man who was delivered the news by a police officer that his parents were killed in a motorcycle accident. And the police that delivered the news to the young man said, you know, I'm gonna help you get through this. We're going to help you move on and get your life together and help them, right? Help the two young boys.
Right.
And so the guy's answer was, "But my graduation is next week. Like, who's going to walk with me? Who's going to..."
For the graduation.
So the day of the graduation, the policeman showed up at the stage. It's going to make me cry.
That's okay. It's a touching story.
So he showed up at the stage and he hugged the guy.
Yeah.
And the guy walked across and I thought, what a beautiful thing.
That was an awesome thing. And the fact that, you know, a police officer obviously took that much attention, because I'm sure the things that they must deal with every single day, the loss and the news that they have to deliver to people, he obviously stepped up and took time to actually be there. So that was an awesome story.
Yeah, so what the police officer told the kid, "You have to walk across that stage for your parents. They'll be there with you."
Right.
So, you know, I thought that was a really cool story.
That is an awesome story. Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week. "Isn't happening for you right now doesn't mean that it will never happen." So think about that for a second. Just because something isn't happening right now doesn't mean it'll ever happen is really powerful, because, well, if you were going out for dinner and you place your order with the waiter, you wouldn't stop him every 2 minutes and say, "Do you remember I ordered a steak?" He would look at you and say, "Yes, I know you placed your order and it's coming." Normally you place your order and you sit and wait. And a lot of times we get confused with the universe's time and our time. We want things instantaneously, and it doesn't always happen that way. If you plant a seed, you nurture that seed and you plant it in soil and you continually nurture it and wait for it to sprout. It's no different. You don't keep digging it up and going, "Why aren't you growing?" So just because things aren't happening right now the way you envision them doesn't mean that aren't things in this under the surface that are happening, or all around you that are happening, that are lining things up so that way you can get the best result. What I always say is focus on it happening. Focus on how it feels for it to happen and live in that moment. As we vibrate in the moment of it already happening, or you already achieving what you want to achieve, like attracts like, and through the laws of attraction, it'll come to you much quicker and you'll be much happier because you're already in that vibration. Because if you are vibrating at that level like it's already happened, and here it comes and it attracts to you. If you're saying, "See, it's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening," well, then it goes right by you. It was right there and it went right past you because you weren't in alignment with it. So again, just because something isn't happening for you right now doesn't mean that it will never happen. Words of wisdom.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. 'Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call.
positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. Mama said we can always hug it out. Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. We have on 6:15 to 6:21, that's a nice couple of days there, for a Healing Journeys retreat in Alexander, North Carolina. On the 18th of the month, Wealth Creation Summit through Higher Experience in Los Angeles, California.
June 25th through the 28th, it's the Bhakti Midwest Fest in Madison, Wisconsin.
And on the 27th, it's the Legacy Builders Ball in Palmdale, California. If you're planning ahead for the 4th of July, from July 1st to the 5th, it's the Radiant on Raw Holiday Retreat. This is in Trinidad and Tobago, and this is a raw food event for several days. So that'll round up our events calendar for this week.
And if you want more details on what's going on, just go to humanitarianradio.com and click on our events tab. And if you have an event that you want us to post, just reach out to us either on humanitarianradio.com or on our Facebook.
And we are back, and we are here today with Sridhar Silberfine, and you might know him from the Shakti and the Bhakti Fests and all these great chanting-styled festivals that he's putting on around the country. Hi, Sridhar. How are you today?
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me today.
So you've been doing this for quite a while. From what I understand, you started this in 2009, but you've been practicing this this lifestyle for many years prior to that. Tell us a little bit about how you got started with meditation and yoga and chanting and everything, and then how the vision came together.
Well, actually, it started way back when I was a very young child, actually. I started to get into more mystical Indian philosophy, and I started reading and studying yoga and started practicing yoga with my first yoga teacher, who was Swami Satchidananda in New York City, who actually brought yoga in Hatha yoga form to the West. He also started the Integral Yoga Institute. And I started doing yoga, changing my diet, becoming a vegetarian at that point, and meditating on a regular basis.
What do you think it was that brought you into that shift? That brought you into the desires of yoga and changing your diet and that type of thing? Because we talk a lot on the show about how people suddenly wake up, if you will, and change their lifestyle and create themselves a whole new beautiful life.
Yeah, that's kind of how it worked for me as well. You know, I didn't get a tap on the shoulder by any extreme measures telling me it's time for me to make the move. I just felt in my heart of hearts that when I was looking around, seeing how the world was living at that point, which was, I think, even better than it has been now for most people, I just felt an innate urgency to change my life. I realized that eating a certain kind of a diet, which was animal products, was not going to be healthy for me in the long run. And having some sort of a physical activity, besides going to the gym and stuff like that, you do yoga, which transforms the body, and I just really wanted to try it, and I started reading a lot of books. You know, I started with my first book, Autobiography of a Yogi, which most people start, and started reading a lot of Ram Dass material, and I delved into the philosophy very deeply, and that's how I formed my meditation and my discipline. And it continued to this day. I'm still practicing meditation every day and yoga and doing my chanting, and when I talk to people and give workshops or lectures, you know, I talk about it, discipline, that we all must have this discipline. We can't be lazy when it comes to our physical bodies and our mental approach to life. We just have to really step aside from the lack of discipline and really dive in, because we're our best judge and our best person to do it. You know, nobody's going to do it for us.
Well, you know, in today's lifestyle, especially how we are so 24/7 with everything, and we're constantly bombarded by advertisements and by pressures of life to continue to move forward, it seems very difficult more now than ever to just take the time to slow down and meditate and stay focused on doing that on a daily basis. Do you feel it's something that obviously you have had the discipline to do it from early on, but how do you help people that are actually trying to approach it today that have never even stopped to breathe, let alone meditate? Do you tell them to put a certain amount of time aside every day and just be disciplined enough to do that like every day, and then eventually it gets easier?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, this past couple of weeks we've been in the city of Los Angeles. We're spending time with my particular spiritual teacher, who is Amaji, the hugging saint. And we're having to stay in hotels and drive around the city and activate sort of a lifestyle that we're not used to, because we live out in the desert in a place called Joshua Tree, California. I used to live in L.A. excuse me, for many years, but 10 years back, 2004, I made the move out of the city to change my lifestyle once again, which I'm continuously doing. You start off a little bit in the morning with the, you need to find a spot in your home or in your apartment that you can call your very own, that your family, your kids, your dogs, and nobody comes around. It could be a little altar by the side of your bed, or something in the corner, something like that, or even in the closet if you have to. A place where you can just step aside and say, okay, this is my little domain. This is what I have left in life, or what I have to start off with, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have this place for myself. So you sit quietly just for like 5 minutes in the morning or 5 minutes at night before you go to bed, and you start a practice like that, and it goes to 10 and 15 and maybe 30 minutes. And you know, we're all busy. Everybody has kids. Everybody has jobs. Everybody has everything. You know, we pretty much live in this, what's called a box. We wake up in the morning in a box. We go into the refrigerator, into the box. We drive our cars in a box. We go to work all day in a box. Come home at night, we go back into the box. We got to step out of this box, and we got to realize that at the end of the day, at the end of the world, when we're ready to leave our bodies, you know, we're going to go back into that box once again. So you got to step out, and we got to do something. We got to really do something.
I want to tell you that I was just having a phone conversation with my mom, who's in Florida. She's going to turn 80 this year. And last year, she started for the very first time doing yoga and doing meditation. And I was just asking her, Mom, how are you still enjoying yoga? And how is that doing for you? And what do you think about doing the meditation? And she said, it took me about 3 weeks to really get it in my head that I needed to do this every day. But now that she's been doing it for almost a year and a half, she's absolutely thrilled and wished that she had started this when she was raising 4 children, because she discussed how much easier her life could have gone had she put this into her life so many years earlier.
Exactly. You know, and I'm finding that from a lot of people. You know, when we started these festivals in 2009, this is our 7th year, and we're doing a lot of work at each festival with elderly people, with teenagers, and especially with veterans. We have a program where we have reduced fees for veterans to come, and some days free. And we're really helping them to get into a more of a yoga lifestyle where they can meditate and do yoga. Not so much chanting. A lot of this is alienating to the military. So we start off with just the basics of, you know, feeding them good food and showing them different postures. And they're really responding great, because the military just, they abandon all our veterans. And the veterans come home from the wars, and we shouldn't have been there to begin with, and they realize that afterwards. But then there's no follow-up, so they suffer a lot, they drink a lot, there's a lot of abuse, a lot of suicides, and you know, we have established a program, getting them over to our festivals and showing them that, yes, there is help. There's help in everything for everybody.
There's another opportunity for you to learn a new way of life, because obviously they're coming back from whatever their struggles were involved in the armed forces, and they're coming into a new life anyway. So why don't we show them a new life that's going to be so much easier for them?
Well, also with discipline being involved, I think they can actually take that discipline and apply it in a positive way, where I'm going to discipline myself every day to meditate or to do yoga and start seeing how my life can transform.
Yeah, I think that's really wonderful that you're bringing them in.
Of course, they're mostly, they're just put on medication.
Right.
And there's no,
left
like
to rot.
And that is true for them, and that is true for everybody else. Everybody goes to the doctors, and they get Prozac, they get this, that. I mean, the pharmaceuticals have such a hold on the Western lifestyle that it's hard for anybody to break through. They listen to their doctor, or the doctor's getting promoted by the pharmaceuticals, and they're just a repetition every single day of the same stuff. You've got to step out and say, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not taking all these pills. I'm going to start doing, changing my lifestyle and trying to do a different way of living.
I think when people realize that the pharmaceutical companies are just one massive business, and they've figured out how to play on the weak spots of individuals. I think when you put the whole pharmaceutical world into the category of a business, then you realize that that business is not necessarily suited for you, and there might be other alternatives you want to reach to other than their industry.
Correct. I know that they have such a stranglehold. It's like politics and corporations. They have such a hold on our people and ourselves that, you know, every day goes by where there's a stranglehold, and we just have to, you know, life is short. You know, one of my teachers once told me, he said, "Treat our life is short, make it sweet."
I love it.
And that always resonated for me for many, many years. Getting back to that original story, I just wanted to touch base on when I was studying with Swami Sachidananda, teaching yoga. I became one of his sort of top yoga teachers in New York City. And I was also friends with Michael Ling and Artie Kornfeld at that time. And they were the producers of Woodstock. And I used to hang out with them during that time. And one day over dinner, they said, "Shrita, what do you think is missing from our planning of Woodstock?" This was in 1969, by the way. And I said, "Well, it's missing the spiritual aspect." And what they, because I said, "You're going to have all these great musicians and all these great to-be musicians, right?" Because everybody became famous after that event. And they said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, we need to have some spiritual teacher to come and give the invocation." And they said to me, "Okay, why don't you handle that? Why don't you produce that segment?" So I said, "Okay, fine." I went back and I spoke to Swami Sachidananda, and I said, "Swami, you've been invited to come up to open up Woodstock." He said, "Okay, fine." He didn't know what it was, what it all meant. So we flew him in by helicopter. You actually see this in the movie, this next version of what I'm going to say to you. We flew him in the helicopter. We landed backstage in the grassy knoll, so to speak. We had a little stop thing with him. And then I walked him onto the stage, Woodstock. You actually see it in the director's cut of the movie. And we get on stage, and he looks out. There's 500,000 people there, and he said, "Oh my, what do you expect here? India would be proud of this," he said. And he said to me, "India would be proud of this." And I said, "You know, Swami, someday, sometime in the future, we are going to have all these people chanting the names of God." And he said, "I hope so." And then 40 years later, 2009, we started Bhakti Fest.
Wow, very, very cool.
That is awesome. So let's talk a little bit about Bhakti Fest and about what you're doing in Wisconsin in a week. On June 25th through the 29th, you're going to be in Madison, Wisconsin, with the Bhakti Fest Midwest. But just give our listeners just a little overview, because we, Janie and I in Humanitarian Radio, went to the Shakti Fest and covered that, and that was our first time there, and it was an incredible, incredible experience. So I just want people to hear it from the founder of how you came up to create this and where you see it going from here in the future.
Well, we wanted to get a festival, a spiritual gathering where people could and families could feel safe, bringing kids, and the elderly can come and youth could come and not get drunk and not, you know, I say to people, you want to get drunk and you want to get stoned and you want to pick up people and, you know, sort of, you know, jump into bed with them. This is not the festival for you, okay?
Yeah.
Because I can go out, I can walk outside my door right now and do that every single day of my life. So what is the big deal about going to a festival and doing the same thing?
Right.
What we want to do is we want to establish a festival where you can go deeper into your past, go deeper into who you are, and open up your heart and feel this compassion and love. Go deeper into a practice of meditation, of learning different modalities of yoga, and sitting and taking different workshops from great leaders a lot of times. So that was the original thinking in the format of Bhakti Fest in 2009. We started out with one, and then we wanted to do something more designed for the divine feminine, because we all have this feminine quality to us, but most men are a little blocked and a little locked down on their opening up their hearts to the feminine side. So we started what was called the Shakti Fest, which is dedication to the divine feminine. That's every May. And we don't have big festivals. We had 1,800 people at the festival in May. And it was really a wonderful time. It was very safe and very sweet. And people, more and more families are coming out when they realize that, yeah, they can bring their kids. We have a great kids program all day. We teach yoga and we teach them how to chant and movements and, you know, for the kids. And in September, we have a program, a great program for teenage girls and for the elderly. So a lot of areas that are missed by teachers, which is the elderly and teenage girls. They're having a lot of problems, and we want to address that. So we have spiritual elder women coming in and teaching the teenage girls different aspects of life, because most teenage girls do not listen to their mothers and fathers, rightfully so, because they're just doing the same thing with the kids, and like we all do, you know, listen to me, do what I say, do it, you know,
right,
and follow what I do. But, you know, when they hear it from an elder that's already been through everything, they seem to turn and listen to it. You know, when I'm funny story, in May, when I was at the Shakti Fest, we have a bookstore where we sell books and garments from India and different cloths, and I saw four little girls shopping in our store in May, and they all looked like the same person. And I said to them, how old are you guys? And then one said 14. I said, are you all related? And we said, we're two twins. We're twins and we're twins.
Wow.
And I said, how did this come about? They said, well, my father had a set of twins, and they said, my mother had a set of twins, and then our fathers and mothers got married. So we're all sisters now. And the four of them were...
That's crazy.
Out of my life. And I said, you guys, and they were trying on all these Indian clothes, and they were doing yoga and chanting, and they were having a great time. I said, I want you guys to please come back in September and give a workshop for the teenage girls. So they made a proposal, and they're coming in September for our next big festival in Joshua Tree, and they're going to give a workshop for teenage girls.
That is so awesome. You know, I think it's so important to get children, especially in this day and time, to get children involved in meditation and yoga and chanting and fitness, and just generally get them out of today's thought patterns that are taught in school and more into a spiritual realm, so that they have a chance to actually become something and have a really great, solid life. I think that the only shot that kids have these days at having a really smooth life is finding a way to meditation and yoga and things of this nature. So I think it's really amazing that you're bringing families in. And something that Tony and I noticed when we were at the Shakti Fest was how many young kids there were there, how many teenagers and how many families. And I was also really surprised at how many men were there, because I was expecting it to be all women, and it wasn't.
You're absolutely right. And you know, once you recognize an area that needs help, we just can't talk about it. You got to be an active, proactive individual and organization, and you got to do something. You know, we support, part of our mission statement is supporting different charities with any leftover monies that we have at the end of the year. So at the end of the year, we support 5 charities, but one of the charities that we specifically support is Food for Life in a little small town called Vrindavan, India. And we support 180 little girls who are orphans. And we go there every year, myself and my partner, and we work with them, you know, for a couple of weeks. And we were just there in January, and it was the day that we were able to give them all their little New Year's goodie packages. So we gave them each a backpack with erasers and pens and rulers and notepads and stuff like that. They don't have anything. They just have the clothes that they wear every single day.
Right.
And we feed them at the school, and you know, sometimes they go to their little homes if they have a mother and father, or sometimes they stay at the school and they have no mothers and fathers. But they all have no money.
Yeah.
You know, the families have absolutely nothing.
And you guys roll into town as angels.
Yeah, well, we don't go in there like that. We just go in there as part of our service, as part mm-hmm, of what we mm-hmm. do at SEVA, SEVA. You know, we're not looking for anything coming back. We're just dedicating the rest of our lives to be able to do this and help people. Why not?
Absolutely.
We have to spend a little bit of time every day helping others. You know, be less fortunate than we are. You know, we're all blessed. Most people don't realize how blessed they are, so we have to be able to show them how blessed they are and be able to open that up to them and say, yes, we are all blessed. We all can do it. Just have to step out and do it and not depend on anybody else to do it for us.
So where do you where do you see Bhakti Fest going from here? Obviously, you're starting to expand. Do you have a goal in mind to say that you want to be in all 50 states, or do you want to spread out? Where do you see it going from here? Because obviously, you've been able to achieve quite a bit so far, and you're noticing that it's working. So what is your goal from here?
Well, I tend not to try to have too many goals because I don't want to be disappointed or get set up in my own mind. We like to go to the East Coast. We like to go to the Southwest. We like to go to a lot of places, you know, but it takes funding. You know, we're a nonprofit foundation. That's who runs these festivals. So, you know, we go around where we're asked to come, where the economics can. You know, I wanted to start going back east, so we decided to go to the Midwest. That's how we wound up in Madison, Wisconsin, of all places. I was looking in Chicago. But we have a really definite set for our festival. It has to have some camping, it has to have some hotels, it has to have some indoor facilities and outdoor facilities. And we found a place. We dropped right into the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, Wisconsin, and we found a beautiful place there. So we have hotel rooms available for people. We have camping available for people. And, you know, our festivals are not very expensive. They're like $300 or $350 for the whole weekend, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that includes everything. It includes, you know, as many yoga classes as you want, as many meditation classes as you want, as many other workshops that you can take. And, you know, there's something for somebody all day long from 7 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock at night, which is different than our show in, a festival in September, which we go 24 hours for 6 days. So
Wow, so that goes 24/7. And I remember when I met you, you had said something like there's 9 different things to do every 2 hours at the Shakti Fest.
Well, at the Bhakti Fest, especially in September, there's something to do every 2 hours in 9 different arenas. So, and that goes on all the time, all night long. It's really quite extensive and fantastic. But we have one that's coming up next week in Madison, Wisconsin. We'd love any of your listeners to come on out. There's still some discounted tickets available. There's veteran programs available. When I was out there last year, I was sitting in the audience. We had around 1,200 people there. And an old lady was sitting next to me, and she was singing and dancing and jumping up and down. I said, "Oh, are you a regular to all this?" She said, "No, this is the first time I've ever come out to do yoga and to chant." And she's saying, "I'm having the best time of my life." I said, "How old are you?" She said, 83 years old. I said, "Oh, that's so remarkable." I was so happy. I was sitting next to her. And all of a sudden, it was such a thrill to see how excited and open and loving she was. And it was just great to see how the results of what we do.
You know, it's beautiful to see the results of what you do, for us to witness it firsthand. And we talked to several people that were there for the very first time. And, of course, we were there for the first time. So we were interested in seeing other people's reactions, if they were the same as ours. For us, it was really delightful how calming and how peaceful the whole atmosphere was over the several days. And it just went from better to better to better to better as each day went on. I could totally see how anybody in any age bracket would have that same wonderful sensation that Tony and I had. And I'm just delighted that there is somebody like you out here that's making this kind of noise on a grand scale of this nature. And you're making people realize they have an alternative.
That's right. It's not like, you know, it's not a black and white situation in our lives. You know, there's always room to change. There's always room to grow. And we make that available to people. We say, come on out. You don't have to be, you know, a star yoga person. You don't have to be fit. You just have to come out and have a willingness. There's beginner's classes, intermediate classes, advanced classes.
You just have to show up.
Show up and leave your cares and worries at home. We have a saying, come full, leave empty. Come empty, leave full.
Beautiful. Sridhar, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure. And for our listeners, we have a link on our Humanitarian Radio events page saying how to get to these guys and get some tickets. If you're anywhere within, you know, a 2-day driving, I'd get your butt there. It's a beautiful event. There's some great things in it for each and every one of you. And I absolutely highly recommend you check out both the Bhakti and the Shakti festivals and get yourself to one. And if you can't make it there, get someone you know there. Thank you so much, Sridhar.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you, love. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Both of you too. Thank you so much.
Every week, I like to dedicate a song to our guests. And this week, it's a song I wrote called Rejuvenation. It was off my World Radio 13 CD. And it's a song about meditation. And the Bhakti Fest is about yoga, Quran music, and meditation. And so I thought the song was very appropriate. This is Rejuvenation by Saint Tone.
can. Sit still now for just a while. Feel the power in your hand. Time has come now to find yourself and go within. Close the door to your outside world. Rejuvenation. Gotta work now through your lunch, you're running out of time. 8 hours turned to 12, somehow you lost yourself. Life's a living hell of drowning, drowning, drowning. Time has come now to find yourself and go within. Close the door to your outside world, rejuvenation.
Once again, that was Rejuvenation by Saint Tone. You could check out more positive music at www.sainttone.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story, or if you know someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio, or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.